I'm Joe Wallace. This is Turntabling.net, the Turntabling Podcast. This is our very first edition ever. And the whole point behind the Turntabling Podcast is to discuss and listen to excerpts from rare, unheard, and underappreciated vinyl records, and a few compact discs along the way, as it's appropriate. But the main thrust of this whole thing is the vinyl. I'd just like to point out before we move on any further, any excerpts you hear on this show are intended as support for the artists who put these records out, and the excerpting is done in the context of commentary discussion on the original work, so this is basically all fair use material, no copyright infringement or bootlegging intended, but it's just one of those stupid legal things that I have to get out of the way right from the get-go. All right, Turntabling, the podcast. New concept for turntabling.net. Really, really happy to be moving forward with this. And for these shows, basically, I'm going to take a handful of vinyl and talk a little bit about them, put them on, play, not whole songs, obviously, because that's, for some reason that I can't understand, tends to make these record companies angry. I'm not going to get into a big discussion about MP3s and downloading and bootlegging and all that here, but suffice it to say that we'll be playing enough for you to get the general idea and then move on. Got a nice little pile of things to sift through for the inaugural edition of the show. A band called Guyana Punchline. A mysterious little project on vinyl called Tape Projects Number 6. At least that's what the album cover seems to indicate the name of this record is. And then there is the equally alarming and disgustingly, voyeuristically amusing Hilarity and Despair, American Answering Machine Tapes Number 1. Put out on a very limited edition. Only 600 of these were pressed. A website called SebastianSpeaks.com in Nashville put this out. And it's equal part horrifying and amusing answering machine messages. I'm really not sure why I'm supposed to have spent $11 on this, but I did. And for better or for worse, you'll be hearing a little bit of that on the first edition of the show here. And then to cap things off, I've got a little obsession with a very, very tiny little genre of music that came out in the 80s. Born-again Christian new wave, etc. music on small, tiny little labels like Sparrow. I'll get into that whole history thing in a little bit, but suffice it to say that this is probably one of the most bewildering, amusing, and sometimes insanely creative genres on the planet. There aren't very many of these records. There are even fewer of them that are any good, and I love them for various reasons. I have damage, but suffice it to say that the combination of insanely misguided philosophies and lyrical content and cheeseball 80s graphics and more often than not really ham-fisted attempts at genre hopping and things like that. It just makes this genre like the drive-in movie grindhouse experience of music, at least for me. So without any further ado, let's get into the vinyl. We'll start things off with this band that I discovered a couple of years ago called Guyana Punchline. This is a strange little record called Irritainment. And I suppose I should start off by saying that I really don't consider what I do on this podcast, episode one, so I'm presuming a lot, but I really don't consider what I'm doing here to be criticism. This is more like music archaeology. And on one of my archaeological digs, I came up with this band, Guyana Punchline, the album Irritainment, Songs to Disturb the Comfortable, Songs to Comfort the Disturbed. And the edition I got was used, so there were no lyrics or liner notes or anything like that. But the fine print on this record does say, against the express wishes of Prank Records, this phonograph LP includes a CD booklet as a lyric sheet. I didn't get that, but on the back, there's all kinds of ranting and even an action script that you're apparently supposed to do while this record plays. And a few of the instructions include a nude male actor playing a scratched up copy of the album, and a nude female actor smashing furniture, and then a chorus of people all singing Freebird. You can kind of get the idea that these people were into the Situationists a little bit, maybe? I don't know, but let's take a listen to a little bit of Guyana Punchline. And again, permitted under fair use because we're commenting on the original work and blah, blah, blah. Here we go. This is from the album Irritainment.
Most hideous and primitive torture devices.
And did you hear the holler at the end of that song? Hoo-wee.
Vicky was allowed one dose of heroin to fulfill her day's needs. Vicky was also preparing herself for an eventual abortion.
What gives milk comes in a jar and cleans your teeth. A big purple rock eater.
It's really hard to dance to that, I think, but that's the way most of the record goes. Let's take another listen to it further in here. This is Guyana Punchline from the Irritainment album.
Now that we're here in Potato Land, why don't we go searching for some of the things...
They clearly come from the sore throat school of lyrics there, vocalizations, and okay, I'm being incredibly dismissive, but there are plenty of people who are into that sort of stuff. I just don't know any of them. Okay, that was Guyana Punchline with Irritainment. Sort of standard run-of-the-mill shrieking and frenetic guitar playing. Some people are into that. Onward. This, in case you're not just joining us, because how could you really just join us? This is a podcast, after all. This is the Turntabling Podcast, dedicated to rare, unheard, and unusual vinyl, and a few compact discs along the way. Next up on our sample, our record sampling frenzy here, is a mysterious piece of vinyl that I picked up about the same time as Guyana Punchline. Found this strange record labeled Tape Projects TAPR06, and this is a single LP, double-sided. They, for some reason, made a point to do one side red and one side blue, and there are too many artists listed on each side for this to be anything but very, very short tracks by groups like 12 Dog Cycle, Joel Stern, Rat Creeps, Jim Knox, the Buffalo Jump Band, and looking at the red side here, now I have to confess I haven't played this record yet. I've been actually saving this record for something just like this. I'm going to be discovering this right alongside you, but these are all very, very short little tracks. They might even be locked grooves, not sure. The whole reason I picked this up in the first place was because on the blue side, which has an equal number of tracks by Paul Rogers and Samuel Akers and Toe Cutter, this long list of names, Severed Heads jumps out as one of the contributors on this project. Now, is this the Severed Heads? the legendary Southern Heads, big Come Visit the Big Bigot, and Dead Eyes Opened, those Severed Heads, unknown. No liner notes to speak of. Having purchased this, again, used, it's entirely possible that some documentation existed on this at one time, but not for me. So we're just going to put the red side on here for a moment and take a listen at random and see what Tape Projects number 6 is all about. This is the Turntabling Podcast. So what you have here basically is a bunch of loops, locked grooves. Let's try another track here. And etc. We'll take a listen to one more here. And you get the general idea. That is the album Tape Projects, TAPRO6. That was the red side. Okay, I have to admit I am curious. I'm going to flip this over and take a listen to just one or two selections from the blue side, just for laughs. Is it different stylistically from the red side? Or was there some sort of demarcation between style and approach from one to the other? Let's find out. And essentially, pretty much the same thing. Experimentation, locked grooves. Good for looping, I suppose. This album would be fun to run in a DJ set with a bunch of other mashed up stuff and general echo box weirdness. All in all, though, I think it takes a pretty dedicated experimental type listener to get into this one. I have my own uses for it, of course, being a vinyl manipulator and turntablist and sort of a mashup junkie. So this would suit me very well, run through a couple of echo machines, I think. As far as party listening, not so much probably, but unless, of course, the party is for Merce Bow and John Cage. But you get the general idea. That was the record Tape Projects, TAPR06, and quite the mysterious record. And all right, next up in our little collection of strange, rare, and otherwise weird vinyl, this treasure / abomination called Hilarity and Despair, American Answering Machine Tapes, Volume 1. Put out by a website called SebastianSpeaks.com in Nashville. My copy is number 395 out of 600. I'm not sure what motivated them to want to number these in a limited edition. In as much as it's not really so much a found art object, the audio on this record, as much as it's recently discovered cries for help, or some other sort of sick, desperate pleas from the bowels of Midwestern hell. I love the graphics on this record. It's photographs of answering machine tapes. And because cassette imagery is so big now on T-shirts and, pop culture merchandise, you know, this resonates a little more than it did, you know, probably 10 years ago. But the contents of this record are all at once fascinating and repulsive. And I mean, you really do kind of feel like a dirty voyeur, but not in a sex sort of way. You feel like you've been sitting there with your ear pressed against the wall, listening to these deeply sad, pathetically desperate conversations. And there's a lot more than just answering machine messages on this record. There are like bits of accidentally recorded conversations and things like that. But the overall effect is that it is it's psycho time in the trailer park. Let's take a listen.
This is Bobby. Leave your name and number at the beep. I'll get back at you. Out. This is Bobby. Leave your name and number at
y'all
the beep.
Y'all need to get out of here.
Motherfucker! This is Gladys Bob. Quiet, everybody be quiet. This is man. This is Bobby. Leave your name and number at the beep. I'll get back at you. This is Bobby Dale. Leave your name and number at the beep.
Don't listen to that. That's the answering machine.
Huh?
That's the answering machine.
Why don't you turn it off?
I don't know how.
Oh, my.
Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. We've listened to a little bit of this record. What the hell for? Why? Well, you really have to persevere. I mean, listening to this record is like reading a book. There's a journey here, and it's a journey to the heart of Trailer Park Darkness. And to give you an idea of what I mean by that, let's listen a bit further.
See you. Jay, it's Eric. If you're there, pick up, man. If not, give me a call as soon as you get home. I'll be here. See you. What's up, Jay? It's Eric, man. Figured I'd call, see if you guys were home yet or not. I don't know, maybe when you get back. It's Sunday night, by the way. Maybe when you get back tomorrow, maybe you can go see Godzilla or something. Figure out something to do instead of sitting at home. All right, give me a holler when you get in. See ya. Jay, get your butt out of bed. You don't need 12 hours of sleep. Give me a holler. See ya. Hey, it's Eric. If you're there, pick up.
The scariest part of all this is that, I mean, it's pretty clear that they have cherry-picked the most obsessive compulsive callers out of what sounds like just decades worth of answering machine tapes. They have found these psychotically obsessed people who are calling these answering machines every 5 minutes and basically repeating this litany of, well, pick up the phone, where are you, why aren't you picking up the phone? It's completely horrifying. And wait, when you get to the legal stuff on this record, and what by legal stuff I mean lawyers and bill collectors and related parties calling the same person going, your hearing is today and you're going to lose custody and we need you to resolve this urgent financial. It really is just this creeptacular, sick journey. Again, the heart of darkness in the trailer park. I don't know how else to describe it, but that's a vinyl record called Hilarity and Despair, Answering Machine Tapes. I'm sorry, American Answering Machine Tapes, Volume 1, as if you could mistake the voices on those tapes for anybody else in any other country anywhere. I think the American Midwest has a monopoly on a particular kind of crazy, and you can hear it all on this record. And In the interest of keeping the first edition short and sweet, we're not going to go through a gigantic avalanche of vinyl today. Really glad that you're along for the listen on the first edition of Turntabling, the podcast. And to wrap things up today, some excerpts from this curious genre of born again, new wave Christian music. The artist I have here in front of me is Steve Taylor, who is probably one of the more creative of this 80s born again evangelical music movement. I'm probably babbling at this point, but this guy put out a large volume of material. He's still recording, and his earliest stuff, the most cringe-making stuff, unfortunately, I don't have a copy of, some pretty abhorrent and repellent anti-gay messages on his first record that I'm sure he's really embarrassed by at this stage in the game, or at least I would hope that he'd grow a conscience of some kind about that stuff and take it back, or at least admit that he was a little intolerant. But the messages on Steve Taylor's On the Fritz record are a little bit more mainstream. He's one of the snarkier, more sarcastic of the born-again new wave Christian artists. There are song titles like This Disco Used to Be a Cute Cathedral, which is a commentary on the conversion of some New York City church into a nightclub. He's got a couple of songs where he seems to be trying to parody Billy Idol, and musically speaking, it kind of hops around a little bit because it goes from Billy Idol to more of a Human League synth pop type thing. But we're going to take a listen to a track off of side one of this album, On the Fritz. This is the title track. And how come all of the good songs on these new wave records are always the second track? I don't know why that is, but this is On the Fritz by Steve Taylor. Was Steve Taylor with On the Fritz, and just a real curious artifact from the 1980s. Born again Christian new wave. They were pretty evangelical about this stuff. Their whole thing, their whole reason for existence, as stated back then, was that they were trying to create sort of an alternative music industry, because at that point in strange, kooky American Midwest religious movements, one of the big issues among the people who were following this and making this music and buying this music and going to those evangelical churches was that they weren't supposed to be listening to what they called secular rock music. In other words, you know, anybody who wasn't a Christian. The big debate was, you know, do you have any business listening to music that wasn't written by Christians? And of course, you know, that's a completely ridiculous idea to us. But, you know, being the participants in that sort of weirdness would give you a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily have if you were caught up in the middle of it. So they attempted to sort of build an alternative record industry and, in some cases, even an alternative Hollywood with, ooh, bad, bad results. Ooh, just wretched. But very entertaining, I will say. A very, very entertaining little subculture Sort of started around something called Calvary Chapel out in Southern California, if memory serves. But anyway, I digress. I'm getting far, far away from the vinyl. Steve Taylor had like two or three records that were worth listening to for various reasons. If you're into the new wave sound, On the Fritz and one called Meltdown had some pretty new wavy stuff on it. There were others. There was a sort of a Devo sound-alike band. Well, I say sound-alike. They're trying, you know, to sort of emulate that, called Krumbacher. And they had a couple records that were really heavily synth-driven. And there are a few other notable groups, but the most creative and interesting and open-minded and really the group with the most longevity had to be a band called Daniel Amos, and we will take a listen to some Daniel Amos vinyl in an upcoming edition of the Turntabling Podcast. Thanks for listening to this one, crude and as rough as it may be, the first edition of any new show, whether it's a podcast or a video, whatever. It's always rough, and it's always kind of a painful birth, and I've done enough of these types of things to know that you know, by the time you get to like show five, it sounds so completely different from the first hesitating, faltering steps that you take that you're really embarrassed by the earliest efforts. So I'll be disowning this show probably as soon as I can get another one out, but thank you for listening. Turntabling the Podcast is a production of Turntabling.net. I am Joe Wallace, the webmaster, vinyl junkie, and resident nutcase at Turntabling.net. If you have any questions, comments, you want to have your vinyl featured on the show, drop me a line. It's the letter J, Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E, at Turntabling.net. Or you can just go to Turntabling.net and look for the contact information there. Happy to play anything on vinyl. I do plan to do a select amount of compact discs, but they're mostly import weird, rare stuff that isn't readily available, and we will get to that and those issues in successive shows. Thanks again for listening. That's it for this edition. We will see you in probably another week with the Turntabling Podcast.